You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast.
Shut up! My time has come, and that's the bottom line.
With your hosts, Aljon and Steven.
I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast, a weekly look into the world of professional wrestling.
I'm going to reach out right now. I want you at home to know my hand is touching your hand.
Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast.
I always try to do what's best for business.
Have a question or just want to comment? Leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792.
Or how about a Y2J telling you to shut the hell up?
And now, Pro Wrestling Cast.
Welcome back to your weekly show, Pro Wrestling Cast, your podcast and webcast for smart marks everywhere. We are just having fun. We just had done some awesome shows regarding WrestleMania. We did our WrestleMania picks. We did our WrestleMania post show. And now we're doing our Smarkamania post show. We'll tell you all about that, as well as some great wrestling news from the world, of course, of professional wrestling. We're going to try to keep things kayfabe here with our heel commentator. And, he has a glove, and he is not afraid to use it. Stephen Anthony is joining us on the show, as always. Hello.
How you doing, man? What a mark-filled weekend. And, man, that's the most fun I've had watching wrestling in years, and I mean that. That was awesome.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Everything from the Hall of Fame to the daily coverage on the WWE Network to all the other, you know, wrestling programs that have been out there, whether it's TNA, Ring of Honor, Lucha Underground, AAA. I mean, there's tons of stuff going on, and it is a great time to be a wrestling fan indeed. Yeah. So I tell you, if you have not checked out our coverage of WrestleMania, you need to go ahead and do that. Like and subscribe to our shows on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Give us a thumbs up for the show. Subscribe. Leave us those comments as well, if you would. We'd really appreciate that. Our WrestleMania show has got thousands and thousands of hits on YouTube, as well as from the Weeby Geeks Network of podcasts. So we really appreciate you, and we would even appreciate it even more if you took it that one step further, liked and subscribed our feeds and gave us those 5-star reviews. Another thing you can do, help the show out, and we'd appreciate it, is visit our website at prowrestlingcast.com and click on our Amazon link, because it does keep our show free. Every little bit helps. You don't pay anything additional in order to support the show. It just Amazon kicks it back a little bit of love to the show to help us continue doing the coverage that we're doing, and we would really appreciate if you did so. So having said that, let's go ahead and go on to our news segment. Stephen Anthony, you've got a million stories to talk about. So how about I'll let you kick things off with whatever topic you'd like to talk about first.
Well, first of all, we had the Smart Mark WrestleMania, which is the somewhat convoluted, somewhat innocuous post-WrestleMania Raw crowd every year, which has become an annual tradition for all Smart Marks. The crowd this year was particularly insensitive and hot at spots. The show itself, before we talk about it, it averaged 5.35 million throughout the show. And if you remember a few weeks ago, we were saying how hard they were trying to hit 4 million. So they added 1.5 million people. The top rated segment, with peaking at 5.7 million, was, of course, Brock Lesnar murdering Michael Cole. Michael Cole is now deceased. And I just wanted to say, if you know how when you look in your cable, do you even watch cable? I'm getting rid of it soon too. But if you watch,
yeah, I watch it.
The TV infogram will say Monday Night Raw, Cena versus Rusev main event. If I would have looked on that infographic and it would have said Monday Night Raw, Brock Lesnar kills Michael Cole, I would say, well, I definitely need to watch this episode of Raw and see what in fact happened. 5.7 million. If you ever wondered if Brock Lesnar was worth millions of dollars per match, You got your answer. 5.6 million, 5.2, 5.3 million for the 3 hours, averaging about roughly 5.4 million. The Hall of Fame, which was clipped to death on cable, did about 2.1 million, which is, you know, about twice what TNA did in their prime. So, you know, not to insult TNA, just saying that that is actually very good ratings for a show that started late at about 10:15 p.m. and ran until past 11 o'clock. To do 2 million is an extremely high rating for any cable show. Mm-hmm. What were your, how did you feel about the Smart Mark Raw?
I loved it. I honestly loved it. And if we want to do a quick rundown, we can do it.
I got it,
it was
right
really
here
cool.
If you want to.
Okay, well, let's do a quick rundown. You know, you want a helmet? You want me to helmet real quick?
Well, go ahead, and I can follow with you. I'm a good follower.
Well, I mean, first of all, you've got Brock coming out. I mean, that was just amazing. First of all, amazing promo as usual from Paul Heyman. Brock Lesnar looking beat up. It looks like he cut himself shaving numerous times. You know, he's got a huge gash at the top of his head that was closed up with a bunch of staples. So, you know, hey, man, cheers to Brock Lesnar. But
the crowd reacted to him like Steve Austin was coming out in 1998 or Hulk Hogan in 1987. They were like really hot for Brock Lesnar, the top babyface ever.
You know, sometimes you can listen to a crowd and the arena and you can tell, okay, is it the crowd or the arena that's maybe stunting the noise? But there were so many people. As you know, it's an international crowd. I mean, the night after Raw, you've got everybody and their uncle trying to get in on that. Just, you know... Yeah. They make your vacation out of it. So the rest of the world comes to watch Monday Night Raw, and it's almost a bizarre world kind of feel, but it is very cool. So, of course, Rollins comes out. They tease a match. Stephanie comes out, cuts them off. And
Rollins was on the way, supposedly.
Supposedly. And then, which was really interesting because... The entire time, I think, was it the King had actually telegraphed something on commentary saying, you know, here comes Seth Rollins or something. Of course, that wasn't the case. But at any rate, Brock Lesnar then proceeds to say, what? You're not going to give me my rematch clause? You're not going to do this? Basically... ruins the entire set and basically kills three announcers.
You're kind of splitting it up. You're combining both segments, but Stephanie comes out and says, I'll give you your match later. And she was great as usual. Yeah. Rollins came out and, one of our guest panelists last week mentioned that he felt like, Rollins could be the Shawn Michaels of 1997, which I thought was an interesting comment, and he could be, although, you know, you need to be even more obnoxious than him in a lot of ways in your personal life and your show life. But I will say this, playing a complete chicken shit, running for his life, he gives Brock an insecurity. After saying he wouldn't, you know, want to do the match, he gives him an enziguri, a light enziguri, and Brock kind of just looks at him like, I refuse to sell anything ever again, you know. There were spots during the Reigns match where he wouldn't sell clotheslines, and man, I was just marking out. As you recall, we were watching it together. We were both marking out during the main event, one of the best main events I've ever seen. And he continued his lack of work working with his with his dance partner here by not selling the enziguri, at which point Seth Rollins decides I need to run for my life. And complete chicken shit, heel, great. Ric Flair, Shawn Michaels 97, whichever way you want to put it, that's how he's going to stay over, because people will feel like he could lose the title at any time. But I don't see him losing. I see this setting up Rollins versus Lesnar at SummerSlam. I see, you know, obviously Lesnar taking time off. Well, anyway, after that, Brock is very angry, murders all of the announcers. Michael Cole gets away, kind of like a guy in a car crash who walked away, but then was literally F5'd out of his shoes in one of the most vicious F5s I've seen in quite some time. And Michael Cole is actually a pretty tough guy behind the scenes, so I'm sure he was happy to do this spot. And then Lesnar decides to beat up the cameraman. At this point, the crowd heat is so hot. Now, in a normal show, you'd be like, oh, that's a setup cameraman. The crowd heat was so hot. They're just like, ah, he's going to murder the cameraman now, you know, and we're all marking out. It was probably the most fantastic segment on Raw this year, wouldn't you say?
I would. It was electric. It really was electric. I mean, those two segments, I mean, every segment on the show was really, really good. But those Brock segments were just off the chain, just insane, off the chain.
Fantastic. Just killer.
Well, why don't you go ahead and run down the rest, because I did take some notes. So go right ahead.
Well, Brian faced Ziggler. I predicted this would be the feud ongoing, but it seems like they're going to go with Brian versus Barrett for a while, which actually should be some really killer matches. Like we predicted, Brian is going to go with the IC title. They put over the IC belt very strong at the pay-per-view, having Bret Hart and Ricky Steamboat and incredible IC champions who later became world champions, put over the IC belt. Fantastic stuff there. I kind of wish this match would have gone maybe another segment. It was a two-segment match. I would have preferred a three-segment match. I understand you want to put a clean pinfall. I understand he put over Ziggler twice clean, but I just wanted it to be a little bit of a longer match. Maybe I'm getting a little spoiled by all of the incredible intense work rate from the weekend, but that aside, it was a great TV match. Sheamus came out at the end dressed like an idiot, and I do like his beard, and I never liked Sheamus's hair, and it looks like they're going to give... If you're going to push Sheamus, to me, you have to push him as a heel. He's just not the baby face type of guy. Take it from me, people do not like redheads. Redheads always lose their cool at some point and make a scene. So another good segment.
Yeah, I mean, the Sheamus Mohawk did get a lot of chance. I mean,
same chant at the SmackDown taping about it, him looking stupid, happened, by the way.
Yeah, you look stupid, you know. So, but you know, you're right. I mean, you need to make a change. You need to tell people this is not the same old Sheamus. You know, I've got the Captain Lou Albano beard going on. I've got the Mohawk that I got from Shannon Moore, and there you go. I'm done.
Yeah, big ups to Shannon.
Shannon Moore, trading hair secrets with Sheamus. So there you go.
Well, you know, I'm a big fan of Shannon from back in 97 when he wrestled in Tennessee. They actually played it in Louisiana back when I was still living there at 5 in the morning.
There you go. The Prince of Punk. The
Tennessee Volunteers. Great show. Brickhouse Brown dressed as
the Oh, Brickhouse Brown. Oh, my God.
Brickhouse. Still in Brickhouse, if you don't mind. I know nobody probably knows who that is, but he's the shit.
He is in Tennessee wrestling. You can't walk 5 miles without hearing about Brickhouse Brown. Okay, yeah, so
I love him. We should get him on the show if you hook that up.
We should get him on.
I'd probably literally give him money. Wait, I shouldn't have said that. he will take my money. Lucha Dragon.
Lucha.
Talk about a debut. You want to talk about it?
Yeah, that's how.
Through the silk.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, probably one of my favorite. I mean, there was a lot. Well, online, basically, I did say that Smarkamania, the night after WrestleMania, the Raw after WrestleMania, has now been dubbed NXT Rawzone.
Right.
Yeah, that was my hashtag for that night, was NXT Rawzone.
Callisto was on.
What a debut.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, unbelievable aerial moves, great stuff. Stuff that you would have seen all the time if you were to watch NXT, but to a staggering audience of 5.6 million viewers plus, whatever the case was, holy smokes, man.
Looked every bit as impressive to me as Rey Mysterio when he debuted in 95, 96 ECW. WCW. Every bit as impressive. He did his... Now, what is the move called where he does the maneuver for close to 67 minutes where he... I don't even know what it's called. I'm so...
I want to say it's like the tilt-a-whirl, roundabout, back and forth, head scissor.
Unreal. And I couldn't pick a better guy than Damian to do those spots with. And hey, maybe a rebirth of sorts for the Sin Cara character. You know, just to say, Callisto is what Mystico was supposed to... That's how Mystico was supposed to look in his... I'm sorry. I'm so stupid. That's how Sin Cara was supposed to look in his debut matches. The guy has too many names. That's how Sin Cara was supposed to look, doing those maneuvers. But, you know, they blew that. But I don't know.
Well, anyway, he didn't blow it. He was hungry. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, that tag match was really, really good. So
fantastic. And the New Day is super over with their super duper new chant. And I'm so glad that Kofi Kingston was able to help the crowd chant New Day Sucks for some reason. I don't, maybe he didn't know what was going on, but that was confusing.
New Day Sucks.
He's like, New Day Sucks. Day Sucks. And then I got to have the third one. He's like, oh, wait, I think they hate me.
But I tell you what, you know,
a great team. Give them time.
They are a great team, and they should just go ahead and make them heal.
They did at the tapings.
They did.
But you really don't need to turn them. They're already a heel team.
So. Yeah. just confirm it.
It's been confirmed. We'll go over that briefly. But Stardust and Mizdow, they're continuing the Mizdow feud. Mizdow, confusingly, is still named Mizdow and dresses like the Miz. I figured this out, by the way, Al John. They don't know how to get out of the situation. The situation has heat. The feud has high heat. They don't know how to get out of it.
That's stupid.
Well, what do they do?
Well, what do they do?
And now it's back to where you were. Think about it. And this feud owes a lot to the Miz too. This is a heavy feud.
Miz loves to heal. And I was telling my wife this. We were watching Raw last night, and he really does a great job of playing the heel. He does a great job. He loves to get the negative response. He loves to egg on the audience, and he knows how to ratchet it up. He really does. And I think he's been undervalued for many years.
Yeah.
You know, but he's a great talker. He knows how to get a reaction, negative or positive, by the way, but he definitely knows how to get that heel reaction.
Right.
And you know what? I'm okay with this going on and on, you know? I mean, you have to consider what are the stakes in the feud. You know, the stakes are basically, you know what, I'm gonna break away from my subterfuge from this guy. I'm not gonna be his little lackey boy servant anymore. I want to battle for my own name. I want to battle for my rights. Right. You know, and say, you know what, it's gonna be, you know, one of these things where, you know, maybe it, you know, I'm better than you, Miz. I can stake my reputation on it. I'm gonna beat you, and if I beat you, you become my stunt double.
Okay, you know, let's see
how this works for a while, you know. And if you think you're better than me so much, let's just put it on the line, and then maybe what we can do is, you know, a contract for a new commercial and put it on a pole and or a ladder and see if the two of them can go and do something. I mean, honestly, you can't tell me that a ladder match between the Miz and Mizdow for a TV commercial for the WWE Network or some kind of stupid Viagra commercial wouldn't draw ratings, because on a Monday, that would be amazing, right?
Well, that sounds just Russo-rific.
Yep.
Viagra commercial on a pole match.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I learn from the best. But if anything, you know, have Russo, you know, sign off on this. Or how about, you know, I mean, I hate to say a gimmick. It does sound really Russo-rific. Let's be honest. This gimmick, this whole angle has been Russo-rific, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, but it's been effective as hell. Again, they blew it. We've talked about it with the fellas on the round table. They blew it by not having him go over in the Andre the Giant, Jay Brown Battle Royal. Mm-hmm. After this, we saw the debut of Adrian Neville, or just Neville. I kind of was hoping they would call him Aaron Neville. Actually, I thought that would have been funny.
Touch the feel of cotton.
This fucking debut was the shit. This was awesome. He delivered completely. He squashed Axelmania. Henning put him over big time, did all the spots. He's a big old, if anyone doesn't know, he's a big old jacked up dude that can move around like Juventud Guerrero. I mean, he is unreal. And he will be a giant star come soon. He was the former champ of NXT. Again, Wednesday night, get the network, watch NXT, and you'll see the future is coming. Kalisto, Neville. Soon Sasha Banks, who we didn't see in the show, which is a disappointment. There's so much happening, and then it's going to just carry over to this show. The only bomb we've had is the Ascension, but you know, what are you going to do? You know, anyway, the match.
I just don't buy it. I mean, the Ascension tried putting themselves over the legendary painted face tag teams, and you know what? It doesn't work for me.
Good luck, bro.
Sorry.
Good luck.
Sorry,
first of all, it doesn't work now. Second of all, those teams are all awesome. The Road Warriors, you can't get any better than. And then, you know, even down the line, like the Blade Runners and Demolition, I mean, you're talking about guys that were over. Mm-hmm.
In terms of those guys, I think it just needs to be tweaked a little bit. I think, when I was watching NXT, those guys really turned me off. I was not a fan. I was a fan of Lucha Dragons, personally.
Dragons all the way. A lot on the show, actually. They're big old dudes that didn't work. They brought up the smaller dude, and it worked. You know, and good for those guys. But yeah, anyway, Neville was awesome, and I cannot wait to see what happens with him. I'd love to see him fight Daniel Bryan over the IC belt. Could you imagine how awesome that feud would be?
Oh my God!
I mean, good Lord! Oh my God.
That would be amazing.
This is what I would do. I would build up him over the next 2 months. Have Barrett fight Bryan and possibly throw in Ziggler. Although it looks like Ziggler's out of the marriage now. And then, you know, build them up and then have Bryan Neville at SummerSlam. And you would talk about awesome.
Well, I tell you, there is opportunity there, and I think even a Ziggler thing would be really cool. I will say this. You know, Neville made his debut, and granted, you know, we've seen, if you watch NXT, you've seen the shtick before. However, you know, this is a fresh new audience, and I know that he had to get his shit in like really, really quickly on this match, and it looked really amazing. You know, his finisher, where he basically defied gravity, which is his gimmick, by the way, and I love the cape. You know, the man that gravity forgot. Really cool stuff. However, you know, hopefully he'll be able to kind of slow it down and make his spots count more, because it did give me that whole, you know, Ring of Honor feel, you know, for better or for worse.
Well, they gave him 90 seconds, though, Al John. They didn't give him a shot to do
exactly.
Anything. And he did everything, so talk about count.
Yeah, exactly. Dang, you know, so the debut happened. Now we'll just have to see what else, you know, this guy's got, you know, got to offer. But I have high hopes for Neville, so that's really cool.
Yeah. Another. Go ahead.
Oh no, go right ahead.
Another killer match was John Cena against Ambrose. Another two segment match. Again, a little. I don't think I've ever seen Ambrose job clean. Am I wrong?
I don't know, to be honest. I don't remember
him jobbing too much at all. He's been very protected. He looked just as good. The crowd was so into him, and boy, did this crowd hate John Cena. Sweet Lord.
Oh, yeah.
The crowd's hilarious with their John Cena sucks. John Cena sucks. They got it down. And, you know, an amazing match. I would have saved this for a pay-per-view and built it up for months. What if? I guess they wanted to deliver just that killer show, and clean pinfalls are great, but I don't see a good reason to pin Ambrose clean. That being said, he looked like he was his equal, and I guess that was the point. But I'd love to see Ambrose Cena have a long-term feud, and that's sort of what Smarkamania Raw is. It's basically, let's give you a preview of maybe some feuds. Maybe we'll see Cena against Sheamus. I'm sorry, maybe we'll see Bryan against Sheamus. Maybe we'll see Bryan against Ziggler. Maybe we'll see Cena against Ambrose, you know, and all of this stuff. So
I have a feeling over the next couple of weeks we're going to see a shuffling of the deck a little bit to find out what will work down the road and maybe build a SummerSlam. And you know, once again, a great opportunity there. And I think you know, yeah, I mean, when you have two faces facing off against each other, you want to make sure that they both come off looking like equal. And yeah, there were times, you know, it could have gone either way. But, you know, once again, you know, Cena wins, he's retaining the belt, and so be it.
They, at this point, if they would have ended the show, it would have been one of the best Raws of ever. But the show continued, and the crowd started to turn. They had a pretty poor Rusev squash. No Lana. I'm hearing that Vince McMahon loves the Lana gimmick and has huge plans for her. We could see evil Russian hot girl GM. You know, that would be great. And she has been with him rarely. She has not been with him on TV for almost a month now. And I think that's been by design, because she is so good at her job. And Rusev won a squash match. Whoopi, you know, just kind of went back to the same thing. We learned on SmackDown, which they taped, you know, of course, Tuesday night, unfortunately, that Rusev and Cena will have another pay-per-view match at Extreme Rules. And if I were them, I would put the belt back on Rusev.
Mm-hmm. He needs it. He needs it. And they need to keep something going because, you know, if they're going to treat these belts the way they need to be treated, those guys need to be elevated to the next level. And the next level will be the World Heavyweight, you know, Championship after that.
Because no matter who has the belt, you can do Cena against Rusev at your house shows over the belt. And that's, I think, was the plan all along. But Rusev should have the belt and be on TV and continue to, you know, squash American. It seems like it's a good gimmick. In retrospect, you know, he should have probably won at WrestleMania, but who am I to say anything at this point? I predicted he would lose. He did lose. And that was just in the booking sheets for months. You know, some of these things do get planned months early. You know, Reigns-Lesnar happened. It just so happens what they were going to do in June, they just pushed to the WrestleMania main event with Rollins cashing in. That was always the plan. They're just 2 months ahead of schedule because Reigns wasn't over. And if you don't mind me saying this, I am now a Roman Reigns mark. I think he's awesome. He's had two straight 4 or 5 star, whatever you want to call it, matches in main events and pay-per-views. Yes, it was Daniel Bryan. Yes, it was Brock Lesnar. But he more than held his own in those matches. I've seen Daniel Bryan have subpar for Daniel Bryan matches with not-so-great challengers. And he more than proved his worth with Lesnar, his ability to take a beating, his ability to give out a beating. And he is the underdog plucky babyface. He was heavily cheered at the SmackDown tapings. So now that we're away from the Smart Mark crowd, we'll probably see what happens. I see, you know, first of all, and I'm jumping ahead here, Rollins is going to defend the title against Orton at Extreme Rules. So that's our two main events coming up. John Cena against Rusev again, and Orton against Rollins over the belt, which is kind of fresh. And to be honest, they had a killer match at Mania, and they were trying to have a mid-card match, so now they'll try to have a WrestleMania main event type of match. And I'm sure we'll see Rollins go over clean because he did the favor for Orton. And, you know, that those would be two pretty good matches. I that one will be good. The other one might, at this point, you know, get kind of boring with all the things we've seen with the two of them. But after that's all said and done, I say that they're going to go with Rollins as the babyface against, I'm sorry, Reigns with the babyface against Rollins until we get Lesnar back, which they all set up with that terrific Mania main event, you know?
Yeah. So, I think it's a step in the right direction. And I believe one of the major criticisms people had with Roman Reigns being pushed to the main event level when he did was that he didn't earn it, or it wasn't perceived that he earned it. So now he's earned it. So everybody out there who wants to hate on Roman Reigns, guess what? Boy earned his stripes. Yep. You know, he's paid his dues. He has gone through the ringer and the abuse from the fans and the smarks out there. So now guess what, guys? You know, he's there and he's proven his worth, as you said. I too am a Roman Reigns fan, but honestly, I think he really proved that he can go with Daniel Bryan, and I was just wanting to see where it would take him. And since the story is intriguing to me and he's playing his role, it's absolutely fine by me. So so kudos to WWE for correcting, for making that course correction when they did, and making him earn it. So.
And anyway, the final match of Raw, that was a tangent that we got on there, was, you know, they built it up like there was going to be a fantastic, fun guest. And at that point, the show had been so good, you thought there might have been. It, in fact, ended up being Reigns. Why do I keep saying Rollins instead of Reigns? And Reigns was heavily booed on the babyface side. They liked Orton. They didn't really like Ryback, and they hated Reigns. And they really hated Kane and Big Show. And they loved Rollins, Kane, and Big Show. I believe Kane got a chant of "Please retire," which was, hey, sad. Man, that's so crowd's sad. Mean. This crowd's mean. Also, I wanted to point out in poor taste that they said, you know, later in the show that Michael Cole had cervical spine trauma, which is what, you know, Paraguayo died of. That was in poor taste, and I don't think it was a coincidence. I think that they heard about a wrestler dying in the ring, and what pisses me off is this. They didn't do any tribute to Aguayo in their show. If you go ahead and take out Royal Rumble 1997, which I have, you'll see Pero Aguayo Sr., his father, in the six-man tag, and he, meaning Aguayo Jr., was actually in the dark match for that show at the age of, I think, 16 or 17, very young. He has wrestled for them. they should have paid tribute, but instead of doing that, they made it seem like Michael Cole had the same sort of cervical spine trauma that Aguayo apparently died of. So I just thought that was in poor taste. That's that evil little edge I get from them. I got to think that's your boy Vinnie Mac. He comes up with the ideas that honestly scare the other writers. You know, I've heard that over the years.
Well, you know, it's all about taste, but I will say this, that Stephanie and Triple H, I believe both on their Twitters actually did pay their respects to him. However, they didn't do it in a classy way like TNA did on their Impact show. So, you know, hey guys, guess what? TNA, a little bit classier this time out with the tribute and, you know, you just don't do that kind of stuff. I did hear that, and it did take me back. I was like, but for that group of, I have to wonder how many of the Smart Marks actually did catch it out of the.
I don't
the
think
smart
a lot did, out. But I think
a lot did. But yeah, when I heard that, I'm like, ooh.
Well, that's only because I had researched it for this show so much, because they kind of kept changing. If you watch our show on Aguayo, I had said he died of whiplash later, and then later they said he died at the hospital. Then later they said he didn't die at the hospital, and there was so much information coming out of Mexico about it. But the main thing I heard was cervical spine C1, C2, C3 vertebrae crushed. You know, that's what happened. And I don't know. I don't know. Where do you come up with cervical spine trauma? I mean, like, who just brings that up all the time?
Who says that? Typically, they'll be like, oh, this guy was injured. He's got some critical injuries as he's in the hospital. I mean, that's pretty specific. That's pretty damn specific. So, that's
pretty specific.
You know, but what does that mean? It means that maybe they're going to write off the announcers for a while, and then you're going to have people like Brian Saxton and on the show, which, by the way, I have to say... good try, Brian Saxton. Look, I love his character. I really appreciate the next generation of NXT people led by Renee Young. I think that Renee Young is money. I think Byron Saxton has the potential to be there. I think Corey Graves is my new favorite analyst next to Alex Riley. And I think they're a great broadcast team. I really, really enjoy their commentary. Yeah. I think they're grooming the next generation of commentary people because, you know, how much do we have left in the tank for some of these guys? I think Renee Young, like I said, is money. Yeah. And I really appreciate Corey Graves. I mean, God bless, his wrestling career was cut short, but Corey Graves to me is money. He is smart, well-spoken. Right. And that's what I love to hear from the commentators, you know, it's, and he has wrestling experience, you know, very much like a Josh Matthews, which, by the way, I think Josh Matthews is doing a great job at TNA, you know, and, you know, more power to him.
Well, and Corey Graves will have a show on the network coming up called Culture Shock.
We're going to talk about
that later. But just to show they're giving him something, I did want to point out that the announced team for SmackDown ended up being Brian Saxton, Jerry Lawler, and Tom Phillips.
Yep.
So they're playing.
And Tom's good. You know, Tom's good. I mean, he reminds me. You know, he reminds me of a Kevin Kelly type. You know, and and that's cool. That's cool for what it is. He's very straightforward, and I don't mind that one bit. You know, I will say this. WWE has a reputation for being some of the greatest live, the greatest production of all of television history.
Their
production is absolutely amazing. But guys, come on, please raise the vocal on Byron Saxton. You know, I mean, his vocal was buried the entire time.
That's a trick.
You know, his vocal was being buried the entire time. And I don't know what he was being fed, you know, in terms of lines, but, you know, he was out there with tremendous pressure with the largest audience known to man watching him, and he did his very best. And Byron, my hat's off to you, sir. It's not an easy feat to pull off a broadcast alone, you
know? Yeah, and the show really took a dip when he was on his own, and that's not his fault, and I know that's part of the angle to make it look real, but it hurt the show quality anyway. And by
where
the
was
end
Renee
of-
where was Renee? Renee could have easily got into that spot, and people love Renee Young.
I don't think Vince wants to do a female broadcaster. He's never done that.
Well, guess what?
On the main show.
Female broadcasters are money. Just ask Michelle Beadle, okay?
I know that. You know? I'm telling you what evil Vince does.
Well, you know what? You know, hopefully, it seemed to me, though, like WrestleMania as well as Smarkamania is starting to have seeds of Triple H, you know, maybe his influence starting to come through.
And I'm liking it.
Yeah, I am liking it. You know, I mean, if this is the case, you know, it could just be a huge work. But I feel that a lot of the stuff that we're seeing with NXT Mania has Triple H's fingerprints all over it.
Yeah.
You know? So I think maybe.
At this point, Vince, maybe.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
But let me say this about the old man, Al John.
Go for it.
He creates magic moments that no one has been able to do. I'm talking about Andre the Giant ripping on Hulk Hogan's shirt and Hogan picks up his crucifix and looks at it. I'm talking about Macho Man and Hulk Hogan in the ring as the mega powers, and Hulk Hogan holds Elizabeth up in the air and Macho Man does this. Just little things like that that make it all happen. That's the magic Vince brings. Kicking Bret Hart in the balls when he came back in 2010. All of that stuff is magic. But Triple H has a firm grasp of, you know, Triple H likes all the guys I like. Harley Race, Wahoo McDaniel, Jack Briscoe, Dory Funk Jr. I was doing the Ric Flair promo, I'm sorry. But I really like guys. And he has them picture frames of all of those champions in his house. It was a gift from Stephanie. I've heard her say this. And she framed every champion because he loves that old school stuff. And they're going a good direction with him in charge more and more.
Yep. It is good stuff. Let's see. I think that pretty much wraps up that. I mean, you know, Brock Lesnar written off with an indefinite suspension, which was great, you know, and it may give an opportunity for the, you know, because of the announcing team being hurt, putting them on a well-deserved vacation while we hear and see what the B squad has to offer. And I think it is an opportunity for them and the NXT guys and the new generation of talent need to just grab that brass ring as Vince would have them have it put in front of them, and it does give an opportunity to have the shovel. Now what I don't look forward to is the bloodletting that usually will follow, because as the new crop of NXT people come up, we're going to have a bunch of talent get let go, and maybe in the next show we'll talk about people who may be perceived as being on the bubble, you know. And it's a sad state of affairs when you look at it, you know. I'd never like to see people lose their job, you know, and with wrestling that's happening, you know, maybe some of these talents will be moved down to NXT in order to help a new crop of people up, but it may be unlikely. They may have to take a future endeavor route for a couple of years before they come back, and that's a shame. But they also, by the way, happened to mention the whole Ronda Rousey thing, and when Stephanie did come out, people were hot about Ronda Rousey versus Stephanie. So
they are definitely setting up Triple H and Triple H and Stephanie McMahon versus The Rock and Ronda Rousey at WrestleMania next year. They'll probably she'll probably be at SummerSlam. This is my guess, by the way, but I know these guys. They'll set it up at SummerSlam. They'll do it at Mania. And I think from the Sting promo, by the way, that was right after. Boy, that should have been on the main show, actually. That was killer.
Well, you know, they got to pop numbers so for the network. So
that would have been the way it's raw. And I predicted he would retire, and it looked like he was going to, and the crowd was super into him. Man, people don't care if Sting does a job. They've never cared if Sting did a job. The only match the crowd ever got weird with him was when he didn't beat Hulk Hogan in that Starrcade significantly like he should have. That's the only time I've seen him affected by anything. He's always been super over. Vince McMahon hilariously said at the investors call that they had been doing a lot of great work, blah, 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 the network, blah, 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 WrestleMania. And they had taken Sting, a wrestler who hadn't been on TV in 20 years, and suddenly made him thinking, I hope you're ribbing and doing this to lying to the investors, to think that you actually rebuilt Sting's brand in some way with these angles. He was barely on TV at all, you know, but he probably doesn't realize how over that guy is, or maybe he does, but Sting's the
problem. The problem is that when Sting did his stint in TNA, that it didn't boost their numbers at all. And I think once again, it's because he was not utilized correctly. And, but having said that, his marquee value when brought, and this is an interesting thing, okay, when you look at what all has transpired, his marquee value when put on the grandest stage of them all elevated every product. It elevated their product, elevated his stock worth and everything about it. Mm. It's something that, once again, if you take a superstar like Sting and put him on a product with very little eyes on it, with very little promotion on it, you know, not for the sake that the promotion was trying, because I know TNA was trying, but it didn't elevate him the way he needed to be elevated. Now you put him in WWE, things change. Total game changer, marketing, viewership, promotion, perfect writing, you know, everything. It was a perfect storm for that to happen. And it was because of the machine that is WWE, not the machine that was TNA. You know, you could have the best, you could have the best race car driver in the world, but if the race car driver drives a shitbox, he will only perform as good as a shitbox.
Right.
Right.
So. I couldn't agree more with that. But, you know, well, this leads me into talking a little bit, if you don't mind, about the WWE's value right now.
Yes, let's talk about that, because Vince McMahon recently hosted a conference call for all the investors. And it's very interesting to see those conference calls and hear those conference calls, because you have smart marks calling in. You have people that are obviously fans of the product wanting answers and wanting to know about their favorite superstars and where they think their angles are going to go, which are very interesting on an investor call. However, go ahead, Steven.
Well, they announced 1.3 million subscribers. So they added 300,000 subscribers. They're doing a free month in April, which basically, you know, you said it best. They should do one free week, right? Isn't that what you said?
I did. I think that,
and it shouldn't for be current the subscribers either.
Yeah, you know, the way I feel about it is, if people want to get a taste of the network, it devalues the people that bought into subscriptions, whether it's a 6 month or a year. For me, seeing them have free months all the time pisses me the fuck off. I'll be honest, it pisses me off, because I pay good money for the network and the value for the network, and I don't watch it as much as I should, but I watch it as much as I can. And for people that have an entire free month, I'm like, give me some money back, give me a credit, give me a freaking t-shirt, you know, I'm a season ticket holder for your network, and I need to get something else for my value if you continually do free months for, 4 months out of a year. That's stupid to me.
You know, it makes me wonder why people get the network, because I know why I do. Well, first of all, I want to see Sting's promo after Raw. You know, I do want to see that. And obviously, I have to be knowledgeable and talk about it. And by the way, that would be a really good promo of the week. His interaction with the crowd is spectacular. And by the way, the crowd brings up the idea of fighting the Undertaker, and he actually
somebody acknowledges it.
Yeah, he's like, all right, I might do that too. I don't know. I mean, he was totally shooting.
Well, this is what he said. He said, I don't know what the future holds, but whatever they throw my way, I'm going to grab it. And it would be a crying shame if they don't.
Okay, so he's not retiring. Right. He's going to be a Mania against Taker. So there's your two main events. Right. Sting versus Taker, retirement match of some sort for either one. Pick your one you want. But Taker looked great. No. I don't think he's retiring.
Yeah. And before you get into the rest of the financial news in regards to the conference call, did you happen to catch the segment that was part of the WrestleMania 32 announcement in Dallas? There was some exclusive footage in a Skype interview with Mark Henry and Michael Cole back with Scott Sanford in the studio when it was announced that WrestleMania 32 would be held in Dallas. Did you happen to catch that?
No.
Okay. Mark Henry goes up for an interview, talks about how awe-inspiring it is to be performing in Dallas with, by the way, a stadium that has the ability to hold at WrestleMania over 100,000 people, which would break the quote-unquote record held at the Silver Dome at 93,000, right? Something like that.
So yeah, that's what they say.
That's what they say, right? That's the say. But they say that it can hold, for WrestleMania, a total of 100,000 people.
Which would legitimately break the record, because the record's 78,000. It's not 93. Right. And the guy that did their marketing and had all the numbers to it later worked for WCW and later admitted that. And they always up the number 10-20%. They probably didn't have 76,000 at WrestleMania that just passed, by the way. They probably had 68.
And granted, the record is the indoor attendance record for any live event. Okay.
So, okay. And by the way, 78,000, not too bad.
No.
Pretty good.
But look at here. Mark Henry dropped a bomb and actually said, and I don't know if anybody picked this up because I haven't seen it, that him performing there would be his last.
Are you trying to tell me that Mark Henry retiring is going to have some sort of effect on this draw?
No, but I'm just trying to say, that
I'm sorry.
It kind of went under the radar that Mark Henry basically said that if he was able to perform at the WrestleMania in Dallas next year, that it would be his last. And I think a lot of people, you know, kind of glossed over it or didn't even pay attention, because I'm reading all the sheets now and I'm thinking to myself, I don't think anyone picked up on that, you know? So that you would haven't be, heard it.
That could be a draw in some way, but I'll just give you, I would just say if they want to draw 103 or 104,000 people, that I would consider bringing back Andre the Giant as a heel in 1986 because that is the only way they'll go over 100,000 because they had empty seats at WrestleMania, and that's just what people said in the upper decks. So they didn't sell it out. Yep. Sorry. Yep.
And they didn't tout the fact that it was sold out either.
But they they made $121 million at the gate, which is, I'm sorry, they made $12.1 million. $121 million would be a hell of a gate, wouldn't it? They made $12 million at the gate, which is a record. Mm-hmm. That's a record, too.
It's all about the spin. But going into your investors meeting, what other news that we come across? Because I know we have a bunch of programming news regarding the...
Christ Jesus Dewey. And he brought that up at the meeting. And for the love of God, there's so much... here's what's going on. First of all, he was quite chipper. You know, he finally can say, our network has 1.3 million buys. And quite frankly, that's what they said they would have last year at this time. So you're a year behind. No big deal. Okay. We're going to do another free month in April. Probably a mistake, but they did it in February. They gained 200. I'm using loose numbers here. You know I'm exact on my math, and I don't have the numbers in front of me. But they basically gained about 275,000 free viewers and held on to about a third of them. So 100 or 125,000 stayed, and they added an additional 200,000 for March, coming to about 300,000 extra buys, because I promise you the minute they had 1 million and 1 people is when they announced they had a million. So they're currently sitting at 1.3 million subscribers. They're averaging about 920,000 for January, February, March, or January, February. So they're averaging at least a million, and they've hit 1.3 million, and they're quite ecstatic. Then, so I even texted you, if you recall, watch for that stock price to pop. I find out later it dropped 14 points. I'm like, what the hell happened? And I looked a little bit closer at investor's call, and he announced that they are going to add one. This is where that number came from. I just missaid $120 million that they're going to spend this year in the network. Now, that includes pay-per-views, but they have about, I don't know, 75 new shows they've announced. Now, it's more like 15 or 10, but and the price dropped. And I think a lot of the New York Post said a lot of the investors are starting to feel like they're giving away too many free months, you know, and people are getting used to the idea that they can pay $9.99 and then just cancel it. There's an easy out. You know, there you can trickily get out of it if you're sneaky, but there's an easy out where you just cancel it like that and your credit card isn't charged. So I don't think the investors are very happy with that news, just to be honest.
I'm not happy with the news as a subscriber, you know, I mean.
Well, here's what I'm happy about. They're adding 100 hours of old school stuff, so.
Yeah, I want more of that old school stuff, guys. You know, there's not enough. You know, I was watching the Dangerous Alliance last night. For heaven's sake, I need more of that. You know,
now you're talking.
War Games. I was watching War Games last night with Dangerous Alliance.
That's a good War Games match. It's on my War Games Blu-ray, which you can order through Amazon.
That's right. Our link. Thank you very much for plugging that.
Yeah,
but you want to run down? Well, let's run down some of the programs first of all. You know,
Okay. All right. Here we go.
Here we go. So let's start with this, and I'll start with this, and you can take it from here. Okay. Camp WWE is coming. Yeah. It's in partnership with Seth Green, and you know how much of a mark Seth Green is. He's the creator of Robot Chicken on the Cartoon Network, and
which I am a mark for.
Yeah, I do love that. Stupid Buddy Studios will debut a new animated comedy in short form called Camp WWE. Imagine the WWE superstars and divas when they were kids at their first summer camp. Which happens to be run by none other than Mr. McMahon. Add in the shock value, slapstick humor, and social satire, and you have WWE's first adult comedy. Okay, this is not Slam City. This is an adult comedy, which will debut later this year. So that's going to be interesting. Yes, I think this has the potential to be freaking awesome because, you know, animated adult shows like Adult Swim are huge. And we know that Seth Green is very integral into Cartoon Network's Adult Swim success. So that's going to be great. Now, they did quote Seth Green as saying, quote, "We're insanely excited about this collaboration. WWE is one of the most heartfelt professional organizations I've worked with, and we're beyond happy to help them realize this vision." And I think it's great. You know, Seth Green was working on a project for Star Wars, doing a very similar type of thing. And when Star Wars and Lucasfilm was bought by Disney, all that stuff that they did got shelved. And it's a shame. But it looks like they found a perfect fit with the WWE. And with their million plus subscribers, with product placement, the opportunity for them to make money, which is something that for me, they didn't mention in the call, I think is very important. You know, because the investors would, because think about this, with programming on demand on a network platform with more than 1.3, 1.5 million subscribers worldwide, they're reaching a whole new audience that is the audience they are specifically targeting. So the marketing money and the marketing potential is really, really good for that. And the fact that they didn't mention that on the call, I think is a missed opportunity. And I think that had Mr. McMahon done that, it would have been a windfall for them and the stock prices would have maintained or at least, you know, rocketed up just a few more notches.
I don't know if I agree with that statement. I agree with everything else you said. I just wanted to say that I'll see this show and judge it then. The one thing you brought up, I'm glad you did, is the adult aspect. This network is no longer PG. We had probably a blade job, probably, on WrestleMania, although when I saw him on Smarkamania Raw, it didn't look like a blade, because trust me, I know about blade marks. I know wrestlers. I watch a lot of NWA. I know about blading. And I think they're going PG-14 or TV MA-14 for this show now. Blood on the pay-per-views occasionally is fine. Adult-oriented shows, and they're adding the Attitude Era, which is very not PG at all. So I think what we'll see is Raw will stay PG for the kiddos, and really more so for the TV ad people, and then the network, and we'll be all hands on deck as far as whatever direction they want to go. I don't think we'll see a Rusefiction or anything like that, but I do think they'll Robot Chicken is. You should be 14 if you watch that. You know, it's a great show. Crazy. Yeah, I mean, they do some wild stuff on there, and they've used a lot of wrestling action figures for their spots, you know.
And voiceovers.
And they got a lot of cool stuff on there. So I'm anxious to see that, but if it sucks, it sucks. This is, again, we'll get more into this as we talk about these shows. This is all part of their let's do something not so wrestling involving our wrestling show to make money, which usually ends in a disaster historically. Restaurants, football leagues. TV didn't, exactly cut it. I don't know.
Yeah, well. Speaking of being TV-14, this leads us to our next program. Jerry Springer presents WWE Too Hot for TV in April. Right. So this month they're ready to go. Hosted by legendary talk show host and, by the way, Raw guest host Jerry Springer will reveal and introduce the WWE universe to the most outrageous stunts and cringe-worthy moments in TV history. The series will take a look back at chock full of insane situations and racy romps from WWE's past that will have members of the universe asking, did they really do this? Springer will inject his own brand of humor into each episode and themes such as Love Hurts, All in the Family, Weddings, and Funerals. The half-hour series will be available in the beginning of April at the WWE Network on-demand library with new episodes weekly.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, no. Springer actually says, quote, I suspect the 25 years of the Jerry Springer Show qualifies me to comment on this outrageous behavior. And Springer says, what's more outrageous is the entertainment and drama and craziness of the WWE. This is going to be fun. So,
you know what I saw the other day, speaking of weddings, and it'll be on this show, I guarantee it, is the Macho Man and Elizabeth's wedding reception, which Jake the Snake has a cobra attack involved. And I just wanted to say I saw that the other day, and it's really funny in a sticky sort of way, and you really should never invite Jake the Snake Roberts to your wedding reception. I think that's something that he said. He might be okay now, but historically that's an error. I would love to see that. Funerals, that's odd. Well, I don't know. Funerals, yay, let's watch that.
Yeah, that sounds like a party.
Yeah, it's like the Undertaker and Kane sort of funerals, and I don't know. That should be Russo heavy. I diss Russo a lot. Look, Russo did a lot of great stuff in 97, especially when their ratings were about to get big. And I don't mean to diss him so much. You know, I know he's a podcaster, and although his show isn't as good as ours, It is still a nice show. And, you know, and he is a good man and a born-again Christian, and I don't fault him for what happened for really just a few months in WCW, you know, or that. Have you ever seen the electrified cage match in TNA? Have you ever seen that?
Of course I have.
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
There's a lot of ridiculousness.
That was bad.
Well, speaking of ridiculousness, the Diva Search is coming back. You know, just when you think we've got all the awesome divas on NXT and the roster, the main roster, you've got the Diva Search is coming this fall. Athletic, beautiful, charismatic women finding the next stunning WWE diva is going to be happening this fall. Now, I have to admit, going through the network, I did see the first episode of WWE's Tough Enough again.
Oh, that was great.
Have we come a long way. You know what I mean? But my, oh my, there's nothing more entertaining than watching delusional people try to emulate what they see on TV. And that is, to me, just money. How about this? And we alluded to this a little bit during the show, the WrestleMania programs, but Live with Chris Jericho.
Yes.
It is Monday, April 6th with special guest John Cena. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm a big fan of the Y2J podcast on Podcast One. Talk is Jericho. And of course, Jericho challenges his guests to be provocative and in candid conversations, talking about their careers, their lives, their controversies, overall state of WWE. And the series, which is monthly, will be kicking off April 6th, immediately following Raw, with the first one-hour episode featuring WWE star John Cena. So I can only imagine them doing 12 episodes at best right now until they decide to renew his contract. A great way for Jericho to have programming done on his own time.
What happened to Steve Austin? What happened?
Well, interesting. I'm not really sure.
They get mad.
I'm not really sure, because as many eyeballs and eyes and ears that they turn on to the Stone Cold Steve Austin podcast, he still says it's pro wrestling. It's not, you know, sports entertainment. But so be it. You know, I mean, how many times did Arnold Schwarzenegger say wrestling in his Hall of Fame speech?
Well, he's Austrian. I think that's a good.
You know,
a huge fan, by the way.
Well, I mean, you know, sports good entertainment.
Otto Vance shout out. I'll give him the Otto Vance shout out. And he said
really
correctly. No one has ever said that right yet. So
No. Schwarzenegger was great. I loved his speech. But, you know,
Yeah. Whatever.
So we're gonna see Talk is Jericho, a style of Talk is Jericho. And let's be honest, too. It's like I said. They're all friends of Triple H's, right?
They are now.
So hearing Chris Jericho and hearing, you know, by the way, Triple H on Chris Jericho's podcast was really good.
Yeah.
But hearing Chris Jericho talk with Triple H, hearing Stone Cold Steve Austin talk with Triple H and Vince McMahon, you know, there's one thing that's very clear is that even though they try to ask the questions that no one else will ask, they still have to tread lightly if they want to protect their legacy in sports entertainment.
I feel like Steve Austin, this may, I don't know if this is true, this may have something to do with the Triple H interview in some way that Steve Austin did. But, you know, Jericho's podcast, to me, I love Steve Austin. Boy, he was more over than anyone I've ever watched live. And that includes Hulk Hogan, just to be honest. Or maybe not. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's a toss-up. But Chris Jericho is known for doing outside things. His metal band, which, you know, I'm a big... Oh, wait, I'm not supposed to say what heavy metal bands I like.
Yeah, you can.
I'm a big Helloween fan. I don't even know if you know that.
I definitely don't.
Well, I like any band that has like 30 albums, because I don't like to listen to a lot of different music. I like to get one album, move on. And they have 30 albums, and he named himself after their first album, The Walls of Jericho. And if there were a song of the week, and there isn't, it would be Helloween song Murderer from Walls of Jericho. But please don't put a link to that.
That's hilarious.
I just have to throw that out there.
No, that's fine. You know, Chris Jericho is a huge heavy metal fan, and I do like his band, you know, Fozzy. It's a good stuff. But Chris Jericho is, no doubt, this show is going to be entertaining.
I think, speaking of entertaining, I wanted to say, I'm sorry, I think his podcast is better than Steve Austin's, is what I really wanted to get to.
You do?
Eventually, and I never did because I'm so long-winded when I talk, but, you know, he does outside things well, is my point. He does outside things well, and the preview of his Blu-ray, DVD, whatever, the half-hour preview interview they did on the network is very good and engaging, and he talks at length about the Wyatt thing, the Wyatt cage match, and he's a great guy to talk. He knows how to talk to people. He talked to Hulk Hogan about the fact that there was a fractured WCW locker room, that he didn't feel he was a part of any clique that he could talk to him. He said openly that his babyface run in 1994-5 sucked. He said it was okay. And Hogan was like, what do you mean it was okay? It was bad. And Hogan knew it. He has a good way of getting things out of people without just slamming them with a question. And that's probably why he's on here. He'll play ball more. He is, I don't even know if he's under contract, but I guess he's under contract in some sense. He was just in a house show contract that just ended. Yeah. I'm looking forward to this show. He's cool. And he's the right guy for this. He's an entertainment kind of guy, you know. So he's good for this show, and I am looking forward to that show.
Well, I think they'd be remiss if they didn't do both, to be quite honest. I mean, you know, I think that you know, Steve Austin would be good hosting a roundtable. Not as good as JR. I mean, JR, yeah, I think is still really good, and I think there's still a possibility for that. Look, if you want to do what's best for business, you're going to do wrestling commentaries for some of wrestling's top moments. You're going to have Steve Austin on your show because he brings people to the table, and he definitely brings subscribers. Let's not forget that. And then the other thing too is the fact that you know, people love wrestling roundtables. I could listen to, I mean, case in point, you know, you had a what was it? Oh gosh, who was doing the WCW Monday Night Wars? I think it was JR was maybe hosting some of that.
Yeah,
I think some of his stuff where it was John Gabrick versus was it Eric Bischoff? I don't know.
Eric Bischoff was on the Wars one. Mick Foley was on it. Now you're okay. Testing me. JR and Hayes. That was the round table. I was a big fan of those round table shows on In Demand. I love those.
Yeah, those were really, really good, you know? And it's like, come on, let's bring those stuff back. And people would love it. People would love it. Even Jim Cornette, for heaven's sake. As crazy as Jim Cornette is, let's bring him on.
I don't know if they'll do that, buddy. I don't know.
Probably not. Okay, so, but, you know, one could dream.
Yes.
And by the way, before I say this, Michael P.S. Hayes, during the red carpet for the Hall of Fame, just watch that and watch him hit on Maria Menounos. It is money.
Yes, he's definitely a dirty old man.
He is a dirty old man with a Chris Jericho-style jacket. Very interesting. Unfiltered with Renee Young, by the way, which debuts in May. So we have basically Renee Young being more of like a Maria Menounos entertainment commentary person, which is good. So she's going to have a bunch of musical guest stars and stuff like that on the show. Culture Shock with Corey Graves. You mentioned this before. Unique events, custom music, food, people. So this is about him traveling around the world from Marvel Comic headquarters to the tattoo shops on Lower Side of Manhattan. Graves examines a local culture with a unique perspective and style. Short form series debuts in June. Right. So Corey Graves is going to be kind of like the Food Network Diners, Dive-In, and Drive guy. He's going to show you all the cool spots for pop culture, and I like that as well. So you have Renee Young being the shiny face of pop culture. You have Corey Graves being the more underground face of pop culture, which I like because I love comics. Coming in June, WWE The List. The best, the worst, the most bizarre, the most interesting of everything WWE. So
yeah, I love those shows, actually, because that's the only time you get to see them talk about something a little out of the ordinary. The OMG Blu-ray that I talked about in the show the other day, that's sort of like that. They talk about, you know, the Shockmaster, you can only see that sort of silliness in this type of show, or the Russo 49ers match, or any of that weird stuff. You can only see it on a List show, and it also gives you the opportunity, and I'm a big fan of the NFL Network when they do their List shows, because they talk about wide receivers or quarterbacks or defensive linemen you don't normally hear about, because it's a List show, and you can do something a little bit different. And they have such an incredible amount of footage that they own that they can really do almost anything they want with it, you know. And that should be a pretty good one. They kind of do that already with the Countdown show. It sounds like an updated version of that to me more than anything.
Well, but, funny you mention that, because as you said, there is other programming that's coming back. WWE 24 documentary is coming back. WWE Countdown is coming back. Okay. WWE Rivalries, Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling. They also have a Floyd Mayweather versus Big Show behind the scenes coming out, as well as NXT TakeOver, which airs monthly on Wednesdays, which is something I'm sure we're going to have to talk about as well. So, I mean, it is really cool having the rundown of programming, and that's a great thing for network subscribers, is the original programming. One thing I wish they would bring back is Legends House. I really enjoyed Legends House.
Yeah.
And I hope that they can get another crop of legends to come on and do the show. I think that was great. I also enjoyed Tough Enough a lot as well.
I love the old Tough Enoughs a lot. Those are all good. I'd love to see Bob Holly's hilarious beating of Matt Capitelli again. And Al Snow is a really good trainer.
Mm-hmm. So is Taz. Taz was just abrasive, and I love his attitude. I love Taz. So
yeah. Well, you know, Taz. This is what I'd heard from Bob Holly on his shoot interview. A lot of my ridiculous amount of information comes from me buying shoot interviews from Kayfabe Commentaries, High Spots, and RF Video. And you might have seen on the internet that I own the Savio Vega shoot interview, which I'm very proud of. You know, but when you watch something like that, you get weird information. It's not so much like, I don't want to hear about the history of Savio Vega. It's not to get the history of Savio Vega. It's to get more information about Bruiser Brody's death in Puerto Rico because he happened to be there, or what happened with Kurt Angle and Jeff Jarrett because he happened to be there. All of those sort of things. I got so off track just now, I forgot what I was talking about. Do you even remember
we're talking about shoot video information and extra content. But I tell you, what we need to do is we need to wrap this up. Smarkamania was amazing. It was
unreal.
It was an unreal show. It was a great way to kind of kick off the new season of sports entertainment in the WWE. Once again, I encourage everyone to like and subscribe our feeds on YouTube, iTunes, as well as what's going on Stitcher Radio, and spread the word about us. Use the social media, Pro Wrestling Cast on Facebook, P Wrestling Cast on Twitter, and use our Amazon.
PWTorch.com.
Yeah, feel free to be a VIP member there on Wade Keller's hotline too for just $10 a month. There's a little Wade Keller thing for you. Jason Powell is also a runner-up on that as well. So thank you for that.
Jason Powell, I'll give the horns to.
Yeah, Jason Powell. There you go for Jason Powell. So in the meantime, you know, don't forget to check out our feeds, and we'll be back probably another Sunday, next Sunday, with more wrestling news. We've got Ring of Honor to talk about. We have the WWE Hall of Fame to probably run down in just a little bit as well. And maybe who's on the bubble for WWE as a new crop of superstars enters the fray into the main roster. So in the meantime, on behalf of Steve and Anthony, I'm Al John. Don't forget to tuck your head. We'll see you next week for WrestlingTees.com.
Cha-ching! Promo of the week. Short.
checking out Pro Wrestling Cast. If you've got a question or comment, leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792. Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast, or email us at ProWrestlingCast@gmail.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
The opinions and ideas presented in these podcasts are those of Pro Wrestling Cast and are for entertainment purposes.
You're awesome. Thank you so much, Mr. Fuck, for saying what needed to be said.